Something really sweet about completion, isn't there? Don't you love it when a task is finished? I mean, don't you love it, you know, when the house is clean or the supper dishes are done or, you know, the taxes are filed? Are you there yet? Or maybe the car is washed and the lawn is mowed, and how sweet it is when it actually both happens on the same day. Can I get an amen? And I mentioned those simple kinds of things, except for the taxes, because those are the only kinds of things I ever get finished. This may be a newsflash for some of you, but I am the king of the unfinished project. Okay, all right, I'm somewhere near the top of the heap with Mark Weber, at least. Let's put it that. You know, I mean, look, I got, oh, and I see that hand over there. Yes, the response is overwhelming. I got Corvair sitting in my driveway I haven't touched in 2 years. I'm using them to store tools and toiletries. Paper goods. I have an uncle. I had an uncle. He's deceased now. But I had an uncle who was a farmer who never got rid of an old vehicle. You know, he didn't trade them in or sell them off or anything. He'd just park them in the field next to his house. And there they sat. And he would sometimes use them to pull a part off to fix something. But mostly he'd use them to store stuff in. One time I was going to his place with another uncle as a passenger in my car, and we arrived at Uncle Check's farm, and there was an aluminum boat stacked high with lumber. My uncle said, looky there, Chester got him a boat to store his lumber in. I've become my Uncle Check, right? Look, ladies, maybe you saw this. But it's true, ladies, if a man says he'll fix it, he will. There is no need to remind him every 6 months about it. There is something sweet about completion. Some things, it seems, never get done. But today we celebrate not just something getting done, but something getting completed. Something more than just a task ended. Something more than just a task marked off the to-do list. In what we're celebrating today, I don't have the right word, but there's a wholeness that I only know to describe with the word complete. That's not even the word the Bible uses in the text we'll finally get to, but it's the word I'm going to use right now. Over the last several weeks, we've been paying close attention to the 6 hours or so that Jesus spent hanging on a cross, dying for us. Those hours, and even the hours leading up to them, as we've discussed, were horrific hours. And we've talked about the physical abuse that Jesus suffered, and we've talked about the emotional and spiritual distress that Jesus endured. Had he sinned, perhaps the treatment that he received might be construed, you know, as punishment for his crimes. But given that he was without sin, there was no justification for any of the violence he suffered. Of course, what was unjust towards him became justification for us. Amen? We've paid particular attention to his words from the cross, living words from a dying man. From the cross, we know that Jesus spoke words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus spoke words of promise. I tell you the truth, today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus spoke words of fellowship to Mary. Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. Jesus spoke words of forsakenness. My God, why have you forsaken me? We talked last week about Jesus' declaration, I am thirsty. Words that reveal both his humanity and his hope, his confident anticipation of a reunion with his Father. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. We talk today about Jesus' sixth declaration from the cross. It is finished. It is finished. Now, in giving us those words from the cross, the Gospel of John makes it clear that Jesus understood that his earthly moments were coming to a close. He is moments from death, but he is aware of what's going on. He is fully lucid. John writes in verse 28 that Jesus, knowing that all was now completed, said, "I am thirsty." Aware then not just of his surroundings and not just of his imminent death, but more importantly, aware of the eternal significance of these moments, that all was now completed, Jesus declares his thirst. A nearby soldier offers Jesus some wine vinegar, probably from that soldier's own supply, and it may well be that Jesus took the offered drink in this incident, in this situation, in order to garner the strength to utter the words that he declares next. John says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Those words might not seem much to the casual observer, but those words are among the most powerful words in all of human history. They are divine words. They are words that declare the completion of all that God had planned for the sinless life of Jesus the Christ. They are a declaration of consummation. They are a cry of victory and completion. They are an announcement that God's plan has been fulfilled and that the fulfillment of God's plan changes everything. Not just for a few brief moments on the cross and not even just for the few moments on Sunday morning when weekly the church gathers, but changes everything forever and ever and ever. You see, the word John uses to record Jesus' statement here is actually just one Greek word. Your English Bible, your English translation probably gives three words, "it is finished," or something close to that. But those three words actually translate from only the single Greek word, tetelestai. I confess to being a little torn here about how much to say about the vocabulary and the grammar that John uses here. How many of you, and I know a couple of you are computer techies, so you don't get to answer this question. But how many of you have ever had a computer tech try to explain to you why your computer didn't work? Did you care? No, all you want is for your computer to work, right? Unless you're a techie, you don't care why your computer doesn't work. Now, let me ask you, do you care about the Greek vocabulary and grammar that John used nearly 2,000 years ago to express the words, to record Jesus' words from the cross? Oh, y'all, you are just kissing up. Stop it. No, you don't care. But still, it does matter enough to care about. So if you just hang with me for a few minutes this morning, you hang with me, we'll move quickly, and we'll get there. Tetelestai comes from the verb teleo, which means to bring to an end. It means to complete. It means to accomplish. Telescope gets its name because it helps you to see to the end, to the completion. Tetelestai is a crucial word because it signifies not just stopping, but it signifies completion. It signifies the successful end to a particular course of action. It's the word a servant would use when reporting to his or her master, "I've completed the work assigned to me." Tetelestai. It's the word an artist uses when she stands before her creation and says, "I cannot add anything more to it. It is complete." It's the word a builder uses when he hands over the keys to a new building and says, "I've done everything according to plan. It is complete." It's the kind of word you'd use when you finally mounted, you know, Mount Everest, when you'd climbed to the summit. It's the word you'd use when you turn in the final copy of your dissertation. It's the word you'd use when you make the final payment on your house. It means more than just, "I survived." It means I did exactly what I set out to do. When Jesus says it is finished, he's saying it is complete. I did exactly what I set out to do. There's more here than just the verb itself. Tetelestai is in the, you might want to memorize this, you can impress your friends this week. It's in the perfect passive indicative verb form. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I know you're blessed by that. You see, that verb form in the Greek language is used to describe an action that has been completed in the past with results that continue into the present. It means that something is completed with enduring effect, with enduring state. It's different than just the past tense that only looks back to an act and simply says, this happened. The perfect tense includes the idea that this happened and continues to carry impact even yet today. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was not merely declaring, "I'm done." And he certainly didn't declare, "I am finished." Rather, Jesus declared, "I have successfully completed the assignment I was given, and the impact of that completion stands forever. It is finished. It stands finished. It will not be undone. It always will be finished." Tetelestai is Jesus' cry of victory. It is finished. Now, begs the question, what was finished? What was completed? And in a word, the answer simply is everything. Let me just name some things. The malice of Jesus' enemies was completed. By nailing him to the cross, Jesus' enemies had done their worst. What more could they do? Nothing. Tetelestai. It is finished. The sufferings ordained by God for our redemption were completed. Jesus often spoke of the work he had to do and the hour of trouble that was coming. He spoke of the baptism of suffering that he would undergo. And none of those things happened by chance. All of those things were ordained by God in order to produce, in order to accomplish our redemption. They were necessary in order that the justice of God might be satisfied, but all those sufferings had come to completion, had come to fulfillment, and it was finished. The prophetic promises of a redeeming Messiah were completed. The prophetic words of Isaiah regarding a suffering servant, for example. The words of Psalm 22 that we talked about last Sunday, even regarding the insults that Jesus would suffer and the kind of crucifixion he would experience. The prophetic words from the prophet Zechariah that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. These and so many other prophetic promises found their completion in these moments. The requirements of the old covenant, Israel's covenant with God, were completed. Paul says in Romans chapter 10 verse 4 that Jesus Christ is the end of the law, the completion, the fulfillment, the finishing of the law. The terms of the covenant agreement were met by him and are met in him, and so he holds authority to supersede that covenant with a new covenant in his blood. In his completed work then, all the sacrificial regulations of Israel's covenant with God are set aside. All the stipulations regarding how the priesthood would function are supplanted. And in the cross, our great high priest has offered his better sacrifice, his once for all sacrifice for the sins of all the people. Tetelestai, it is finished. In short, the penalty for our sins has been paid in full.
Hallelujah.
It's one of the best parts of this word that John uses, tetelestai. It's not just an artist's word, or a servant's word, or a builder's word. It's also an accountant's word. It is a word that marks a bill as paid in full. Indeed, archaeologists have recovered receipts for taxes with the word tetelestai written across them. Paid in full. So one of the most beautiful things about Jesus' declaration from the cross is that with this single word, Jesus is announcing the penalty for our sins has been paid in full. It is finished. Paid in full. Wouldn't you just like to say those words? Paid in full. Just say it. Come on.
Paid in full.
Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? I like paid in full. You? You remember the words that John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That taking away of sin was declared accomplished. The full payment for the penalty for our sins was announced when Jesus said, "It is finished." Max Lucado says it like this. The history-long plan of redeeming man was finished. The message of God to man was finished. The works done by Jesus as a man on the earth were finished. The task of selecting and training ambassadors was finished. The job was finished. The song had been sung. The blood had been poured. The sacrifice had been made. The sting of death had been removed. It was over. An old hymn, perhaps you know it, says it like this. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted on high, hallelujah, what a Savior. So let me just ask you this question. Do you understand that paid in full means you couldn't add to it even if you wanted to? Do you understand that once a bill has been paid in full, it is paid? I see people, and this is where my heart goes this morning when I think about Jesus' declaration, this sixth declaration from the cross, it is finished. I see people who think they could never reconnect with God because they've simply sinned too much, or they've sinned too often, or they've sinned too deeply, too severely. Tetelestai. My friend, it is finished. I see people who trust God to a point, who've trusted God to a point, but they're still really struggling, and it shows up because they live really uptight lives. They're attempting to live so perfectly that no one, especially God, could ever find fault with them again. Tetelestai, my friend, it is finished. Probably most often I see people who while they know the grace of God and have certainly tasted the grace of God, still let their list of flaws and failures and disappointing actions rob them of fellowship with the God who formed them, the God who loves them so much that He gave His very Son to redeem them. Tetelestai, my friend, it is finished. And I ask this burning question this morning, this profound question. What part of tetelestai don't you understand? Therefore, says Hebrews, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So Jesus is qualified for us by virtue of His sinlessness, but He is considerate of us by virtue of the fact that He has experienced all the weakness we've experienced. Let us then what? Let us then what? Let us beat ourselves up for our failures. Let us keep ourselves at a distance from the God who worked so hard to redeem us. Let us ignore this declaration from the cross. It is finished. No. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Everybody say confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I have a little fear that some of you might react to this word by fearing that people will take their sin too lightly or that the pastor is taking sin too lightly. Not at all. If I had time to talk about it, I'd choose another Greek word, meganoita. May it never be. What a ghastly thought. No, that's not what we're talking about here. Let's rehearse again the suffering, the abuse, the forsakenness that Christ experienced. Let's rehearse again the exorbitant, atrocious costs of our redemption. I am by no means minimizing the cost of our sin. I am only exhorting you to not minimize the fullness, the completeness, the absolute adequacy of the price that Jesus already paid for our sins. Tetelestai, it is finished. You can't add to it. You can't supplement it. You can't reinforce it or augment it in any ways. both because you'd be incapable of doing so, and because it would be and remains absolutely unnecessary. Tetelestai, it is finished. It is paid in full. So I ask again, what part of tetelestai don't you understand? Or maybe more directly, what is it that you are letting keep you from intimacy with God? What is it that you are letting keep you from intimacy with God? Let me tell you, church, the best news you've ever heard. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter how many sins you've piled up in your life. It doesn't matter how guilty you think you are. It doesn't matter what you've done this week. It doesn't matter how evil you think you've been, or truth is, it doesn't matter how good you think you might have measured up. It doesn't matter how many skeletons rattle around in your closet. All of your sins have been stamped by God with one simple word, tetelestai. It is finished, paid in full. God's offer of salvation is full and free. There's not fine print attached to it. You don't have to listen for the voice over at the end that tells you all the reasons you can't qualify for this offer. It is God's grace, and it is extended to every one of us. I was thinking this week about what our friend Wes Dauphinbaugh said. I assume he still says it. Says you can receive and believe, or you can pout, doubt, and do without. Wish I could say it that succinctly. But I couldn't use words like succinctly if I did, right? Listen, I presume when we look at it is finished, that I'm preaching to 99.9% of people who are walking in relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's not the case for you, what I've spoken about is absolutely just as true for you as for anybody else. And Jesus has paid the penalty for your sin in full. God's justice had to be satisfied. We don't want a God for whom sin doesn't matter, right? We don't want a God for whom anything goes. We want a God who's righteous and just. We want order. We want things to be right. What's right flows from who He is. And so the justness of God had to be met, but it was met in the abuse, in the atrocities that Jesus suffered. And so the things that we should suffer, the brokenness that we've earned for ourselves, the punishment we've earned for ourselves, Jesus paid in full. So if you're here this morning, you've never actually, you know, you've never acted on that. You've never taken a step forward to say, wow, I need to receive that gift. And I understand it's free. I understand it's for me. I understand God's generous. I understand He loves me. And I want to walk. You can be grateful. You don't have to be as wordy as I when you approach God about that, right? But I'm telling you, you respond to God out of your heart and you say, I don't want to do this on my own anymore. I want to walk in fellowship with you. I need the penalty for my brokenness met. I need the penalty for my sin paid. And He'll honor that kind of prayer, and He'll welcome you into His family and into the kingdom of God. But I feel like the necessity this morning is more broad than that. And that there's a church, a body of believers who need to be reminded again that our sin has been paid for. Our sin's been, you couldn't change it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It is finished. The bill's been paid in full. Is that not a liberating wonder? Is that not a liberating wonder? I'm not sure you're convinced yet, and I don't know how to preach it any better. It's as good as I know how to say it to you. What if you went home today and what if you went home and tomorrow there was a note in the mail from your mortgage company paid in full? Would you not feel a little liberation? Right? Listen, if I got a letter from SAGU tomorrow saying your kids are going to finish the rest of their college career free of charge to you, I would run about Meriden with my shirt off. I don't know what that would accomplish, but would I not find that liberating? I'm going to tell you what, every one of us is weighed down. You're going to have to get that image out of your mind. I'm sorry. Every one of us is weighed down apart from the generous, gracious work of Christ. every one of us is weighed down with the brokenness of our own lives and our own isolation from God and the times we've said to God, thank you very much, I'll handle this myself. And something's got to be done about that. And guess what? Jesus did it. You can't do it. It's already been done for you. So you may as well rejoice in it and walk in the liberty that Jesus has provided. I want my board members and their spouses to come and make yourselves available on either side of this sanctuary. They're here to pray with you. If there's anything we can do for you, if there's any prayer we can offer, if there's any encouragement we can offer, we want to do that. If you've never acted on Jesus' gift of salvation, come. Let one of us pray with you. Let one of us, if there's some need in your life that, you know, we can pray with you about, like we prayed with Preston and Tammy and God did something great. If there's something there we can do, by all means, let us do that. More broadly, I would really like for the next few moments for us as a church just to celebrate the free gift of God's salvation. All of you is more than enough for all of me. You are my supply. That's the song that I've asked Pastor Blaine and the worship team to lead us in, and I am inviting you to celebrate it. I love it when God's people come and gather. It feels more intimate to me. It feels more connected to me. So if you're up for that, by all means, join me around the front. But even if you stay where you are, would you please give Jesus everything you've got in your heart, rejoicing in His gift of salvation full and free. Thank you, Savior, for Your living Word. Thank you, Savior, that You bore our brokenness on the cross. Thank You that You declared, "It is finished, paid in full, complete." God, I pray that Your people would experience the liberation that that Word declares. I pray they'd experience it in these moments, and I pray that they would experience it each day this week as they walk with You. Let us celebrate Your name together, Lord, with liberty and joy. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Blaine, lead us, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.